ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ
नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ
नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय हरे कृष्ण Srila Prabhupada often spoke about establishing Varnashram Dharma, re-establishing and establishing farm communities to that end. This is often misunderstood. Just recently, just a few days ago, one of my disciples was questioning why when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he rejected this. When Ramananda Rai, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked Ramananda Rai to explain about sadhya sadhana tattva. Sadhya means the goal of life, sadhana means the means to attain it. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself knew very well, of course, that the aim of life is prema pumarto mahan, to develop love of Krishna is the ultimate goal of life, and the means of doing that is by devotional service, beginning with Shravana and Kirtan. So when he asked Ramananda Rai, Ramananda Rai first proposed Varnashram Dharma, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Eho Bhajya Age Koho Ah, this is external, say something more. So Varnashram, it is external to Krishna Prema and the process for developing Krishna Prema or reviving our dormant Krishna Prema, love of Krishna. It's a social system. It's not in and of itself spiritual, but it's the social system given by Krishna. It's the best social system which helps us to live in a way that is conducive for our practicing sadhana. So it is external to the goal of life, Krishna Prema, because it's something to do with this material world. Although there is in the spiritual world also, but as it's practiced within this material world, it is a social system. However, man does require to live in a social system, and the one given by Krishna is the best. So that's often misunderstood. That devotees say, well, why Varnashram if Chaitanya Mahaprabhu rejected it? He rejected it as a means for attaining love of God, but he didn't reject it wholly, absolutely. He himself accepted sannyas, which was a move within the social system from being a family man to a member of the renounced order. That was external, it was an external change meant for preaching, but it was within Varnashram. Anyway, these questions, they'll keep on coming up, even though we say again and again and again, still people will ask again and again. I have spoken in depth on this subject of why we want to introduce Varnashram when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu rejected it. So if any devotees who are watching this and happen to know or can access the links for those lectures where I've spoken about that, they could kindly send that to me and I'll send it on to the concerned devotees who are experiencing a faith crisis because why did Prabhupada say? Why is Bhaktivikasa saying to promote this Varnashram when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu rejected it? In this regard, I will read from the beginning of a chapter in my book, The Mood and Mission of Srila Prabhupada, the manuscript of which I'm working on, which is largely composed of Srila Prabhupada's own quotes about what he wanted this Hare Krishna movement to be. So this chapter is called Introducing Varnashram Dharma. And I'll just read the beginning of that. In pursuance of the teachings of Sadhu, Shastra, and Guru, Srila Prabhupada repeatedly testified to the importance of Varnashram Dharma, which is stated, and now I'm going to give a whole bunch of quotes from Srila Prabhupada about what he stated Varnashram Dharma to be. Srila Prabhupada stated, now we lost that. Okay, let's try. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Okay. Srila Prabhupada said that Varnashram Dharma is the beginning of actual human life. That's good, isn't it? I mean, that's a good start. The beginning of the distinction between human life and animal life. And of course, Srila Prabhupada is not just saying this off the top of his head, the top of his transcendental. That's an English saying. Maybe we shouldn't use it for a great Paramahamsa Vaishnava. But we know from the verse from Hitopadesh that Srila Prabhupada often quoted, Ahara nidra bhaya maitunam cha samana maitat pashubhinaranam dharmo hitesham adhiko visesham dharmena hina pashubhinaranam. Both humans and animals eat, sleep, mate, and defend. In human life, there's this possibility for understanding and practicing dharma. So unless a human being practices dharma, he's just an animal. Human is eating, sleeping, and defending plus dharma. So if he doesn't do dharma, then he's just an animal. And dharma, generally, within the Vedic literature, the word dharma, it means varnashram dharma. When it's applied to it, when it's not applied to its intrinsic spiritual essence, which is jivesvarup hoy Krishna nitya das, to serve Krishna, then it refers to varnashram dharma. And that's true of the many instances of the use of the word within Bhagavad Gita also. So it's the beginning of the distinction between human life and animal life. The beginning, varnashram dharma, is the beginning of human civilization. It is the natural system for civilized life. Natural because it is a creation of God. The most scientific culture and the perfectional form of human civilization. Purposes of Varnashram Dharma. Again, this is all from quoting from Srila Prabhupada's utterances. To protect women from being misled into adultery. To ensure that good population will prevail. Oh, I should change that to Ibid. That's from the same purport. So just that's right there in the beginning of the Bhagavad Gita as it is, when Arjuna is protesting that if the women are not protected, then there'll be bad population will be produced. So Srila Prabhupada comments about that. To train the follower of Varnashram Dharma to adopt the vow of celibacy, to prevent human civilization from becoming hellish, to train everyone so that the money is spent only for good causes. That's not, that's a side effect, you could say. To turn a crude man into a pure devotee of the Lord. So that is not just organization of society, but that is going towards how it interacts with the spiritual purpose of life. It's not just some system of social organization, but it is the system of social organization given by Krishna, which is ultimately meant to help people to come to the platform of pure devotional service. Then Varnashram Dharma, Srila Prabhupada writes, is to uplift all to the highest platform of spiritual realization. And again, Srila Prabhupada writes, the ultimate reason it is to satisfy the Supreme Lord. Srila Prabhupada also writes, unless in the human society, the Varnashram system is introduced. No scheme or social order, health order, or any order, political order, will be successful. However, Srila Prabhupada also stated, if we once again establish Varnashram Dharma, all problems will be solved. And then I go on to write, no wonder then that Srila Prabhupada's manifesto for social reform was to re-establish, as far as possible, pristine Varnashram Dharma. Then again, quoting from Srila Prabhupada, these are all from his books, conversations, and so on. This quote is from the seventh canto, one of the purports. Srila Prabhupada writes, although the Krishna consciousness movement is a movement of Brahmanas and Vaishnavas, it is trying to re-establish the divine Varnashram institution, for without this division of society, there cannot be peace and prosperity anywhere. And there are so many quotes that I'll just give one more before I go on to what I'm... I'll give one more quote from Srila Prabhupada. This is a call for a revolution. There should be a thorough overhauling of the social system. That's a call for a revolution, peaceful revolution. There should be a thorough overhauling of the social system, and society should revert to the Vedic principles, that is, the four varnas and the four ashrams. So it seems often devotees have a hard time to understand this or accept this. They just seem to presume that the sense gratificatory, insane way of life that's going on in the world today, that's just normal, and that's the way society has to be. Well, this is a revolutionary movement for establishing Krishna consciousness at the center of society with the social system of Varnashram Dharma. Several devotees who are inspired by Srila Prabhupada's instructions on Varnashram Dharma and who are serving Srila Prabhupada's mission under my guidance, mostly my disciples, they have established or pilot Varnashram projects, farm communities, because Srila Prabhupada, he linked the re-establishing of Varnashram with farm communities, rural communities, rural-based society. Not that there can't be towns in Varnashram society, but the basis of society is Krishi Goraksha. The economic basis is agriculture and cow protection. So they've started to establish some communities. It hasn't been easy, but some of the communities are going along now for some years. And the leaders of these communities meet with myself regularly, twice a year. We've been doing this for the last several years and sharing experience among ourselves, discussing various possibilities, discussing various obstacles. And some of the devotees who've had some experience in this, they came up with some guidelines for elements necessary to start a Varnashram community based on their own experience. So I'd like to go through that, because definitely we want to encourage devotees all over the world to do this. This is Srila Prabhupada. He wanted this. It's a great program. There are so many advantages. I've spoken on this in so many ways. Actually, the whole of the ISKCON society should be behind this. And it's a matter of, what's the word, distress, disappointment, that the ISKCON leadership is not behind this. But anyway, we can't wait for the leadership to lead us. If they don't lead, then We have to do it ourselves. So they came up with some guidelines for elements necessary to start a Varnashram community. And here are some of them. Yeah, here are the points they came up with, and I'll just go through them and comment on them. Because we've seen that devotees, sometimes they become enthusiastic to start a Varnashram project, which is great, be enthusiastic. But at the same time, we should know that there are various elements which are required if it's going to work. And if you don't have all those elements in place, it's not going to work, or it won't be proper, or it won't be pleasing. Just to give an analogy, there are various elements you require if you're going to cook a meal. You can have, well, first of all, you need the ingredients. Uncooked rice, wheat powder, atta, wheat flour. Then you need some ghee and some spices. And if you don't have salt, it won't be very nice. It's still edible, but you won't get people coming back for more. If you don't have any fire or gas or any such thing, then you're really in trouble. And if you have everything else but you don't have fire, it's not going to work at all. So some elements you can get away with not having them, just like salt. But at the same time, you can't expect anyone to come back, to stay very long, to come back again. Invite them, please come and take lunch, and you serve it without, there's no salt. And then you say, come back tomorrow. I say, I have an engagement somewhere else tomorrow. They're not likely to come back. So some things, or you may not serve vegetables at all, ever, and then you'll get sick because you need a balanced diet. So it's just an example, because there are so many elements we require, and these should be understood. Enthusiasm and good intentions are not enough. There are some practical requirements. Okay, let's see about what are they. A spiritual leader for overall guidance and encouragement. At least to get started, because we're asking people to join a community on the basis of their spiritual life. It's mostly grihasthas we're asking to go, and grihasthas, they have economic considerations, and they have to consider about their children, their children's future. So those who want a spiritual future for their children, they may themselves be willing to take a risk for themselves, but not so much for their, they don't want to risk their children's life. They want to see some things on a very strong spiritual basis. So there should be a spiritual leader who everyone can look up to. That's also very helpful when there may be some disagreements also, so the spiritual leader can also stand in as an arbitrator of if there are various disagreements. But there shouldn't be. If there are many disagreements, it's not going to work. But a spiritual leader gives encouragement to the devotees. And I'm doing that for several projects. I am the spiritual leader and encourager who comes around or time to time and encourages them, but I'm not going to be here in this body for that long, so it's very useful for starting, but other spiritual leaders have to come up also. That's especially important when we're just establishing these projects. When there are several projects going on, then other devotees can have confidence that it can be done, and they may want to do it when they see that devotees who move to these projects are so happy in Krishna consciousness, and they're away from the hellish city struggles. But So that the role of a spiritual leader per se. Now, that spiritual leadership is always required, but especially for the very beginning projects. And it also reassures devotees that we're on the right path. If there's people tend to have trust in spiritual leaders. If they don't, then if people don't have trust in spiritual leaders, it's very difficult to make any spiritual advancement. Then the next point is that there should be a team of at least three grihasthas who understand and are committed to the mode and mission of Srila Prabhupada, and especially to the Varnashram project. If they don't understand why we're doing this, what Srila Prabhupada wanted, then how are they going to commit themselves, and how are they going to be able to inspire others to commit themselves? And commitment is going to be required, because like I say, there are many struggles. Even just to move to the land is itself a big struggle for people who are entrenched in the city, or they don't know anything else except the city way of life. The core team should have a spirit of cooperation among them. Otherwise, it can't work otherwise. It's a simple thing to say, but if it doesn't exist, then it can't happen. There has to be a spirit of give and take. And obviously, they're going to have to be just not talking about it, but they're going to have to move to the land along with their family members. So it's required that both the husband and wife, they're into it. They want to do it. Now, one thing important, they should be fairly young physically. One major reason for that is that they have to be physically fit to work hard. And they should be mentally prepared to learn some traditional occupational skill or farming. Moving to a farm is not for sick people. That could be later when it's established, then the old people could come, but to live as vanaprastas, something like that. But in the beginning, you need able-bodied men and women who are prepared to work hard and who are physically fit enough to do so. So even someone might have the inclination to do that, but to do these farm projects. But in the beginning, it's required people who are physically fit. And later on, there may be, it's not that everyone has to do huge amounts of physical work. There may be teachers and doctors and so many things when it develops. But in the beginning, devotees are prepared to work hard. And especially in the beginning, as in any endeavor, there's a lot of struggle and a lot of work. And among the pioneers of the project, at least one should have the leadership qualities, so that they're not all the time sitting, everyone is not just sitting around and wondering what to do and getting on the mental platform. Someone has to be able to take charge and have the leadership qualities to take charge so that others are willing to accept that person. That leadership qualities means vision, ability to work with others. It doesn't just mean giving orders and expecting people to follow. That's a whole big topic in itself, what are leadership qualities. But unless there's someone who's prepared to take charge, that means also taking responsibility. Taking charge isn't all about sitting on a big throne and giving orders, but there are things like paying the bills, dealing with repairs that need to be, something gets damaged and you have to immediately see to it, taking responsibility. Then money. You're going to need money to purchase land. Here in India, it's very expensive. And in the beginning, there'll be a lot of money required. We're talking about simple living and high thinking. But to live simply, we require situation for that. So we need land. If there are not buildings already on the land, then we need to build buildings. and all kinds of things we need for infrastructure and to start the project. And in the beginning, we can't expect devotees just to move to the land and immediately overnight be economically self-sufficient and able to grow all their own food. It's going to require some financing in the beginning. So either the devotees themselves have lots of money in which they're prepared to sink into it, or they have to have a team of grihasthas or other devotees, mostly grihasthas that would be, who are ready to donate, who understand the importance of this project and are ready to help with that. Money is essential. If we have some of the ingredients but we don't have them all, then we won't be able to successfully pull it off. And it has to, part of being a leader is also to have intelligent understanding of what's going on. So we might have some devotees who are willing to move to the land, and we have enough money to purchase the land, but then we don't have enough money to develop anything. Or we have enough money to just to buy some land and then to build a few buildings, but we don't have we don't have enough to support the project in its opening stages, and then you get stuck. Then devotees get discouraged. So it's a big money investment. It can be done by individual devotees, one by one. They purchase a little land, move there themselves. That's another way to do it, bottom up. But it's more difficult to build a community that way. Also, to be in contact with devotees, a pool of devotees, and then so that they're in contact with the farm devotees, and then they'll come from time to time and visit, and some of them may also want to join, because we want more and more people to join. Unless there are people joining, then it doesn't develop as a community. There are lots of flies on the farm. There's one coming to give a little bit of authenticity here. One fly is coming and harassing me. If the community is fairly close to some city, then devotees can come from the city, and they'll come and be enlivened, and then they'll like to support. On the other hand, if you're too close to the city, then there's the allurement of the city. There are advantages to being far away from a city, and there are advantages to being close to a city. So maybe if you're, say, 2 or 3 hours drive away from a city, that might be ideal. There's nothing perfect or ideal in this world. We see some of our ISKCON farms, they're so very remote that devotees don't visit much from outside. And then some are so close that what happens is the devotees living on the farm, they commute to the city for work, and then the whole purpose of the farm project is lost. Now, this is another major point. Unless there's a gurukul, it's very difficult to get grihasthas to come and join, because they want education for their children. And that is a major point why devotees like to join the farm communities, because they don't want to send their children to the slaughterhouse educational system, as Srila Prabhupada called it, slaughterhouse for the soul. But that's another major undertaking, is to have a gurukul. It's not easy, can be done. It's going on in our projects, but if it's not there, then it's very difficult to get grihasthas to join. So that's another major undertaking. Just thinking about it, it seems, how can we do all these things? But actually, it is, all these things are going on in several of the projects that I'm involved in. And we can say it's really going on by Krishna's mercy. Because devotees have faith in Krishna, they have faith in the words of his pure devotee, Srila Prabhupada, who so much promoted this, and therefore they're able to establish these projects. It's really Krishna's mercy. Yeah, and then apart from devotees living on the land, and then there are various, apart from krishi, agriculture, and goraksha, cow protection, you want to introduce many things, just like weaving and spinning and handloom and pottery, and there are so many village crafts. So gradually all these things have to be introduced. So there have to be devotees who can integrate these into the project, who can, then there need to be devotees who are free also to receive visitors and spend time with them and train new people and help them to, when they join the community, help them to integrate into the community. Now, absolutely important is to have suitable land for agriculture. And there have been several projects which ISKCON devotees have undertaken, farm projects, which have failed to develop for the simple reason that the land wasn't good. The soil is not good for agriculture. You can get land cheaply if the soil isn't good. So that may be an inducement that we can get so many acres of land at a low price, but then if it's at a low price because the soil isn't good. And then you have to struggle so much just to produce a little food. Whereas if the land is good, and also the rain supply, the water supply, then even without making any effort, so many things will grow. Just like when we were in Sri Lanka, we saw that there's so many jackfruit trees, avocado trees, and just there. It's not that people made any effort to plant them. And of course, bananas, they just grow. You'd consider it a weed if it wasn't so useful. Every part of the banana plant is useful, is either edible or can be used for leaf plates, feeding the cows and various things. So, but banana trees, they just grow like anything. There used to be a tradition in Bengal where bananas, so many varieties of bananas grow all over the place, that when a girl reaches the age of puberty, when she has her first menstrual flow, then they plant banana trees all around the house as a sign of fertility. Because banana, they just grow like anything. So, but some land, it's very poor. So it's essential to have very good land, or very good land will be very expensive, but land which is good for agriculture. There are various variables concerning that. There are various types of soil. Some are suitable for certain kinds of crops. If you have, and then enough water also. If you have enough water, you can have three crops of rice a year. In some places, you can only have one crop. In some places, two crops. So the water supply is essential, either by irrigation, and we don't want it, and all this business of digging bore wells 200 feet, 400 feet, and pumping it up by electricity, that also not very good. If the water is easily available, that's better. And also drinking water, There may be water available, but it's not good for drinking. It may be salty or otherwise polluted or whatever, due to the local geological situation, the water may not be suitable, may have certain minerals in it excessively, so that it's not suitable for drinking. So that's the land should be good, suitable for agriculture, without having to do too much work, and then there should be sufficient water supply, either by rain or by or there may be a river. And then again, you have to see that the river, if the river floods for 3 months a year, well, that's also a consideration. If it just floods for 10 days a year on average, well, okay. But you have to be ready for that also. So these are a lot of research is required before purchasing some land to see that it's suitable. Now, another thing is, when you're purchasing land, you're going to have to see if there are other lands round about which you could possibly purchase in future. Because if you just get a little plot and you can't expand, then you're stuck. So that's also required. And of course, we want good land, good soil. And good soil also, if it's on the side of a hill, it's also not very helpful, unless it's already terraced or if it's terraceable. But generally, the land which is flat or maybe slightly undulating, but if it's very sloping land, that's also not very helpful. The better the land, the higher the price. So we want to get a balance between that, the land which is affordable and also useful for agriculture. If the land is far away from major population centers, it may be good land, and also the price not too high. But then if it's good land, there are usually because the agricultural production is good, then generally those are the places where traditionally cities grow up. Cities traditionally grow up when in area where they're surrounded by areas of good agricultural production. If there are free or cheap lands available for grazing locally, that used to be there in India, in the Western countries, there would be public lands, which are allowed for grazing, but that's not there much. That's decreasing all the time. But if there are free lands for grazing for the cows and other animals, that's useful. Just like we see just outside this house here, there are lands. Did you see yesterday the shepherds came around with cows and sheep like that? So these are some other points. There are many, 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 many considerations. Best to discuss with others who have already gone down this path before developing. Don't try to reinvent the wheel. In starting these projects, we did a lot of research before we started on seeing how we can practically do this. And we're going on researching and finding out from our own experience how to deal with people, how to keep them encouraged. Actually, it's not that difficult to keep them encouraged if they're sincere devotees, and mostly it's only sincere devotees who will join such communities, because there's very little material facility. We don't have electricity on our farms, which immediately means there's a lot of austerity compared to city life, and it keeps things very simple. So generally we have very sincere... It's difficult for people who want sense gratification. They won't like to stay. So that's a very good way to get good people to join, is to have very simple facilities. And if they're serious devotees, which again they will be, then one major reason, Srila Prabhupada said, for making these farm communities is to increase our time for hearing and chanting about Krishna. So that goes on. We have a lot of hearing and chanting about Krishna at our farm communities, and that really helps to keep everyone happy. So devotees will be happy, and they are very happy, mostly devotees who are on our farms. From time to time, they may be disturbed by, especially if they're new, by the relatives coming and saying, "Why are you doing? You have a good college degree. You should be earning lots of money and all these. Why are you putting your children in this school? Why don't you send them to a good school?" So they may become disturbed. That's possible. Maya's always ready to attack in all kinds of ways, but factually, devotees are becoming happy, and it's a learning experience, and it always will be a learning experience. As long as we live, we learn. Live and learn, there's a saying. Unless we're learning, then we're stagnant. So especially this going back to the land or reverting to the old way of life, it's something new. That's why it's called a revolution. Revolution, going back to the original thing. So for us, it's something new, although it's the old thing, going back to the old thing. So it's a great challenge. Many devotees told us before we started doing these projects, it's impossible in the modern age. And even there are some still going on saying, it's impossible. But actually, by Srila Prabhupada's grace, we are able to do that. So it's not impossible. Impossible is a word in a fool's dictionary, Srila Prabhupada would say. So the order of Srila Prabhupada is there. It can be done, but it requires intelligence, determination, patience, great faith in the orders of Krishna, in Bhagavad Gita about Varnashram, the orders of Srila Prabhupada. So there are some ideas. Like I said, I've given many talks about this, and devotees are welcome to visit these projects that we are trying to establish. Hare Krishna. All glories to His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Parivadatu jano yata tata va nanu mukharo navayang vicharayamaha hari rasa madira madati matta bhuvi vilutama natama nirvishama dante nidhaya chunakam padaya nipatya kritva chaka kushatametadaham bravimi Hey sadhava sakalameva vihaya durad chaitanya chandra charane gurutanuragam vancha kalpatarubhyas chakribhasindhavya chapatitanam namo namaha.